The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We've got an awful lot to talk about between now and 7 o'clock, Boston related. And in that regard, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to our studio here, Marge Cohen, MD. Marge is from Physicians for a National Health Programme. So think of, I guess, Marge, is it the NHS, but in the US? Is that the idea?
That is the idea. That would be wonderful if we could do that.
So tell me a little bit about how the system works at the moment before we talk about how it might change.
Right. So right now we have a pretty dysfunctional healthcare system for a lot of reasons. First, we have 28 million people who are completely uninsured and another 41 million people who are underinsured. So that means they can't access healthcare, they can't find any care when they're sick. It means that they probably have to pay extra when they go for health care, and it means that a lot of people don't actually go for the health care they need because they don't have the resources. They don't have the money. It's choosing between food, rent, and getting care. So that's really horrible.
So if your income is below a certain threshold, I mean, are you entitled to free health care? Does that system exist?
You're entitled to a health care a group of services okay. that might not be the same as other services that other people have. So under a certain threshold, people who live in most states get that. There's a lot of southern states. I think there's about 13 of them now that actually don't even allow make that cut of how little you're making
yeah.
to even be something that another millions and millions of people don't get insured. So even though the federal government would pay for those people, those governments have said, we don't want that money from the government and we're going to let our people be uninsured. So therefore, the hospitals don't get reimbursed if they go there. It's very, very bad. But most important, in addition to like terrible access because of healthcare, I mean, because of cost, the metrics that we use for how people are doing in terms of their health is terrible in the U.S., especially compared to most European countries,
yeah.
Canada. I mean, people die younger. People are from birth, their life expectancy is much shorter. The maternal mortality is much higher in the U.S. Neonatal mortality is much higher in the U.S. So we're spending more than other countries. People don't have access to it, and we have terrible health parameters.
And how did the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, maybe as people might know it, on our side of the water, how did that change the system?
Well, it allowed about 30 million people who weren't insured to get insured.
Okay.
But it left another 30 million not insured still. So that's a good start. Some people feel that the concept of doing, you know, getting people by increments
yeah.
is one way to do it. But clearly, I would suggest, in the organization I'm from, and probably most physicians, as they've been polled, say we really need a revamping of the system so that there really is you get born and you get a card. And that card gets you all the health care you need till you die. You would have access to reproductive health services, to mental health services, which is really a big problem in this country and many places. And we don't have anything close to that. In fact, things are really getting worse because even the sort of health care we provide for people over 65, which is called Medicare, has now been sort of overrun a little bit by for-profit organizations.
Yeah.
So even those places, there's like still companies trying to get people who are sick to not actually be enrolled in their programs. So the whole point of health insurance companies is to make money.
Yeah.
The whole point of getting health care for all would be like everybody's covered by the same amount, and some people do very badly. But everyone's going to do badly at some point because
yes.
we're going to get old and need more. And then we would all be covered.
So in terms of systems that you want to aid, because we mentioned the NHS, and I know you were recently in Scotland and you talked there about, you know, kind of other European countries. Ireland's kind of somewhere in between. We do have a public healthcare system that we're all absolutely entitled to access, and it provides the entire suite of services.
Right.
I guess the reason, though, lots of people, or about half of people in Ireland, have private health insurance is because the public health care system is brilliant when you're in the system. It's brilliant if you've got an emergency. It is brilliant in lots of ways. Where it's terrible is, give you an example, if you did your ACL or you needed a hip replacement, you're not, Marge is in no imminent danger. She's just in a lot of chronic pain with that hip. Marge goes on a 10-year waiting list. And that's why Marge gets private health insurance.
Well, I think
that whereas the UK, obviously, much more centralized public system, all the way down to your family doctor is actually working for the government.
Right. Well, I kind of think that if we really had that and people at the basic level were actually deciding what we needed for care, and that was like well established, then people would decide if there was a need for gatekeeping, you know, like what the priorities are. And it might be primary care is a priority, because it certainly has to be in this country. It's not. It might be, well, actually, they've done studies of people waiting for like hip replacements and knee replacements, comparing the U.S. to other countries. And the U.S. is bad. It's not like you can go next week and get a hip replacement.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't go next week and get a colonoscopy, even if, you know, there's something really wrong that someone's looking to see if you have colon cancer. So it's not, we're not providing, even though we're spending twice as much as most European countries per person, like $13,000 per person, even though most European countries spend less than $7,000, we're not getting the right metrics. We're just doing worse in terms of cancer longevity, in terms of cardiovascular longevity, in terms of like mental health, in terms of all the needs that people have. So we have to do better.
So the argument against it, I mean, is it an ideological argument often that, listen, we just believe the kind of the market is the solution to it? Is it a financial argument? You know, we're all living longer. We're all going to have these healthcare problems as we live longer. It's a good thing, but it means more expense. Is it one or the other? Is it both? What is it?
Well, I'm sure there's a little of the latter, but I think it's mainly the former.
It's ideology.
People sort of have this vision of the American individual way of doing things, which has produced horrible results, clearly, in terms of healthcare statistics. And also, you know, you pick yourself up by your bootstraps, you don't do these. It's just, you know, a little bit ideological, plus strongly driven by very for-profit organizations. So insurance companies, pharma, hospitals make a lot of money right now in the healthcare system we have. And that would really be in jeopardy if it changed. And it should change. And the costs that we would have, the cost of the healthcare system, if the administrative costs would be, which are now at 30%, which in a collectively run, state-run system would be closer to 4 to 7%, you know, that those monies can go into better healthcare. And then I think we'd have a society that most people would really want. But when you're not like offered the understanding that collectively we are all healthier if we're all healthy, you know, if you don't sort of go with that, if you think it just matters that the companies get a lot of money and that we as individuals look to the other person not getting what they want,
yeah,
you don't do as well.
Well, that's interesting. You mentioned that idea that, you know, we're all healthier if we're all healthier. But I guess it brings us to where there is a shortcoming in the health insurance model with the private hospitals, is that there's not necessarily an incentive there to prevent people coming to the hospital in the first place. In fact, there's the opposite incentive in a kind of a perverse way. You want more and more people through the doors. Whereas the public healthcare system can focus more, I guess, on things like community health and getting people kind of, you know, reducing the waistlines and getting the diet better and, you know, stopping us ending up in the hospital in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, a really good understanding of what total healthcare should be. That people should be healthy mentally, healthy physically, reduce as much chronic illnesses as we can, work together to have that happen, do it at the community level, city level, state level. You need a sort of countrywide plan that is that is implemented with the needs and work of the local sector.
I know sometimes when we've had these conversations and these debates in the show, what some people point to is kind of the innovation that I love this. You're shaking your head already. So I know your view on this argument, but for people who are wondering what I'm talking about, the argument, I guess, that's made by some is that you wouldn't have the innovation without the profit.
Yeah. And I mean, it's such a wrong approach.
Marge is this disdain.
It's just such a wrong approach to how people can be good to each other, how people could care for each other, that our approach has to be a profit-driven system, when what we know has caused that is a greed that is total, makes a totally inequitable system where poor people, women, people of color, indigenous people in this country have not what anybody would want people to have. And I think I have a more of a serious like view that people, when working together, could come to the right conclusions, that they would want there to be the cures and the medications and things that we would all work together to get, so that we would all be in a better place than we are now, rather than just allowing those for-profit groups to say, when in fact the innovation is usually copycat drugs, not medications that are helpful for people. We have a long way to go, as you're sort of pointing out, but I do feel we could get there.
Yeah, well, what's the political appetite for change? So we mentioned kind of Obama and the Affordable Care Act. Yeah. I guess that was the last kind of sizable piece of legislative change.
Biden was supportive of a more publicly run system. I think what you need related to this healthcare system is a change of consciousness that the educational system that we put in for doctors and nurses would be free, so that they wouldn't then be having a debt when they got out.
Yeah.
So that people would make choices to help people at the preventive collective way that you talked about. That would be really important. And I think that's what would make everything better. And every poll that exists shows that people actually don't like their insurance companies, and actually they want a decent healthcare system for all that would be run by a single payer and allow there to be good collective decisions.
Marge, listen, thanks a million for chatting to us. Can I ask you about something entirely unrelated before you go? You were reading a book when you came in.
Yeah.
Dennis Lehane, Small Mercies. So this is a great book. We've actually talked about it on this show.
Oh, good.
So Pascal Donoghue, who's Minister for Finance, he recommended the book. And then Mick Clifford, who's a special correspondent with the Irish Examiner, in our we have a book slot, the bookshelf, the Hard Shoulder bookshelf. People put their favourite books on it. It was one of his favourite books as well, Dennis Lehane, Small Mercies. What do you think of it?
Oh, it's so solid. It's so wonderful. I mean, it's so
He's
important.
A great writer.
It's Boston, right? And the racism that we are trying to address. It's really the same in terms of healthcare, drug issues, racism, school education. We just have so much to do. And he did such a good job of pointing out the contradictions and the issues.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's a brilliant, brilliant book. Small Mercies by Dennis Lehane. Marge Cohen, MD from Physicians for a National Healthcare Program. Marge, thanks a million for joining us here on the show. One of our listeners has gotten in touch on 087 1400 106. I'm so jealous of you in Boston. Have a blast. Go to Atlantic Fish for dinner and have a drink at a bar in Copley Plaza Hotel. Anyway,
nearby.
Loads of recommendations.
Enjoy
nearby,
it.
Says Marge. Marge, thank you. And
thanks
you for
so
the
much.
Recommendation as well.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.